It's about 10 o'clock at night as I sit down with Jarek Rohde, an artist at the Inklink. He's just started one of his biggest tattoos of the night, a face with two teardrops, as we talk about the recent workshop he attended on the connection between human trafficking and the tattoo industry.
I was very blind to it, and I didn't know too much about it. At the end of the day, if we don't help that person who needed our help, who is going to help them? They don't have nobody. They have society to try and find them.
Hundreds of people, mostly young women, are trafficked in the state of Nebraska each month, with I-80 serving as a main artery for labor and sex trafficking in the U.S. Firefighters, EMS, and even airline attendants now have established protocols for how to recognize and respond to human trafficking. But Shireen Rajaram from UNMC College of Public Health is focusing on tattoo artists, and she organized the recent workshop.
With human trafficking, it's all about ownership. I own you, and therefore this tattoo signifies my ownership of you.
Traffickers often brand their victims, forcing them to get tattooed. Shireen explains this puts tattoo shops and artists in a unique position.
They're in an amazingly good position to just build a trust relationship. I mean, they hear things that people don't reveal to anybody else. Healthcare professions, I would say, also are trusted people, but they don't get to spend hours with the same person in a quiet space. So, yeah, they don't see them as threatening at all. And a tattoo artist told us in our research, look, we're like their little therapist.
Oh, man, yes. Before we get started, the person has no clue who I am. I have no clue who they are. By the end of the tattoo, they know my life. I know their life.
It's not just about what somebody says out loud, though. There are certain behaviors and physical signs of abuse, like bruises, that build into a detectable pattern.
You want to connect the dots. So he comes in with two or three women, and all of them need to get the same name, his name, on all three of them. You know, it's like,
A handful of times I've had ladies come in where they're very shy and they don't want to talk to you, but then the gentleman is the one who is handling all the stuff and is like, oh yeah, she's getting my name. I would have never guessed that that could have been a potential sex trafficker, but as soon as she came in and talked to us, it made 100% sense.
But Shireen emphasizes how delicate these situations are, as the trafficker can retaliate with even more violence when they feel threatened. Because of this, their training model focuses on detection and then a presentation of resources, life-saving resources.
Put some posters up in your shop. Put some stuff up in the bathrooms, because we have to be very, very careful by not pushing the women too much, right? So the key here is how might we best create spaces where they can provide information to a woman that would save their lives.
Additionally, the tattoo community in Omaha has raised significant funds. The money is in the care of Omaha's Women's Center for Advancement, and it's specifically for tattoo cover-ups for survivors of human trafficking.
You overlay it with another beautiful tattoo. And it's very liberating for women, because even when you are out of the trafficking situation, those tattoos remind you of things that have happened to you in the past.
At the end of the night, outside of the shop now, I talked with a sexual assault survivor. Wanting to share her perspective, she asked for us not to use her name.
I've had someone take my innocence and hurt me. And I'm tired of people doing that. It eats you alive. And to be sold as property, to be sold as like it's nothing, because people are making a profit off of you. People are doing this to live their own lifestyle out of your pain. And there's not enough coverage on it.
For Omaha Public Radio, I'm Emily Chen Newton.